Hey, everybody, welcome back to the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And welcome back. We had our first hiatus in quite some time. I don't even know the last time we had a week off. It's been quite a while, but well deserved. Want to say hello to everybody jumping on the live show right now. And of course, everybody listening later on at your own leisure or watching later on at your own leisure. But everybody's here. And I just want to take a real quick minute here. I'll try and do this as quickly as possible. But Friday morning, we received word that the Pigskin Podcast Network and DraftKings were literally shutting down effective immediately.
DraftKings hasn't shut down the Pigskin Podcast.
Well, you know what I mean. The podcast network and the fact that DraftKings was sponsoring them and thereby us. Yes, thank you for clarifying. But yes, they did shut us down, and they've been great in helping us transition over to everything. But I want to send a real big thanks and a quick shout out to Variety Sports Network and Brandon there at VSN. They picked us up within just a few hours of us getting the bad news. So as I told these guys, it was like that Seinfeld episode where one thing bad happens to Jerry and then a good thing. It was even Steven. Everything kind of worked out. So
one for one.
What's that?
One for one.
One for one. Yeah.
Kind of like the Steelers this year in free agency.
Well, we'll be touching on
except
that.
Except for Seumalo. That guy's a bona fide star. The rest of them,
See, Ben's just jumping right to it. You know, he wants to go. Yeah. Yeah. In any case, so that's what's been going on. And again, hello to everybody. Hello to everybody on later recordings and later viewings and all that stuff too. My first question, we'll get to the free agent stuff here in a minute, but my first question, Ben, I'll just go ahead and ask you this. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers better now than they were at the end of the 2022 season?
Yeah, but the fan expectations that they signed all these studs and they're going to be so much better than they were remind me a lot of last year when people thought that the Steelers offense was going to be so much better because they had a mobile quarterback and Ben was a statue and Ben was done. He was past his prime, blah, 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 holding the offense back. Did you guys figure it out at this point? Being mobile isn't the only thing about being a quarterback. Okay.
Right.
And some of these guys they signed, well, most of the guys they signed were not pursued by the teams they left at all. Okay. Patrick Peterson, not pursued by the team he left. The linebackers, not pursued by the teams they left. These guys were captains on their team, and they still weren't pursued by the teams they left. The only guy that, in my mind, they signed that was a star was Seumalo. And we got lucky there. Philly was way over the cap. They needed to make some room. They had to make some decisions. He was one of the guys that they let go. But all the rest of those guys are just – they're just guys. Okay?
Right.
And, yes, are they improved at linebacker? Yes, they are. They also, in my mind, took a step back at strong safety. Keanu Neal's a big hitter, but he can't cover. He's even worse than Edmonds. Okay? They let Sutton go. They got older at cornerback. I do not believe that Patrick Peterson, I still think he's got some left in the tank. I do. And in know-how, in terms of know-how and vet presence, he's going to be great. But in terms of just raw ability, he's not a cornerback one anymore. He's not. And so it's like they didn't get better at corner. They got older at corner. And he's not going to get better at this age. He's not better than Sutton now, and he's not going to improve. So I think the long-term plan there was to bring that guy in because he was available because they want to get younger at corner. And they wanted a guy there to mentor some guys as they came along. That's me. It's just my instinct. Nobody will confirm this, and nobody's going to tell me anyway.
Right.
We're not going to know about it until after the draft.
Let me I want to ask these guys the same question, but then I want to come back to Pete quickly as well. Ian, as it stands, is this current Steelers team, is it better than the one that finished the most recent season?
They are. They have upgraded their offensive line tremendously, even from a depth standpoint. You know, like Ben said, Samuel is a star. They've added other guys who are better than the depth pieces that they replaced. They have added two inside linebackers that are better than the guys that played most of the snaps last year.
Well, but they still can't cover.
Let me put it this way. A fully healthy, fully capable Miles Jack is probably better than the two guys they signed. But exactly. Miles Jack at this point in his career is not healthy. Fully healthy for the whole mm-hmm. season. Mm-hmm. So
unfortunately, yeah.
Right. You know, it's safety. I mean, I don't think they, looking at the numbers, they didn't pay Keanu Neal starter money. They paid him backup money.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 years, a trade over $4 million, like that's backup money, basically.
Yep. Yeah, they basically gave him the same contract that they gave to KZ.
Yeah.
Which is also backup money.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, I'm kind of thinking that the plan at safety is that we're going to see a bit more of that three safety look with Neal kind of taking on some of those box safety duties that Edmonds was playing and KZ taking on a little bit more of a coverage role. But that also gives you the opportunity to move Minka around a little bit. So, you know, are they better at corner? Probably not much, but also their corners got torched a bit last year, but also the guys that were terrible, Levi Wallace at times, Akella Weatherspoon often, they kept. So I don't know.
They're not better at corner.
They're not better at corner.
No, no.
I agree.
You know, is the defensive lineman they signed, whose name I can't pronounce,
Fehoko.
Yeah. Is he's better than a 38-year-old Tyson Alualu?
Yeah,
probably is. But he's a depth
piece. Yeah, he's a depth piece. Yeah. He'll help in short yardage situations.
I don't think they're tremendously better right now than they were last year, but I think they're slightly better than they are where they finished the end of last year.
All right. And Scarps, right before I hand this question to you, I Aaron commented that he dreams of Deontay Banks every night. Aaron, you know, I'm a little concerned that you're dreaming of this guy every night, man. You know,
hey, you know what?
Hey, the draft is to each his own. Perfectly normal.
I'm just a little concerned. You know, we can get you help for these dreaming problems. Scarps, are the Steelers better right now than they were at the end of 2022? In your opinion?
I don't know. And I just want to make a point clear. And we'll talk about Patrick Peterson, but mm-hmm. I agree. What is it? Saamalu? What is it? I don't even know. What is it?
Isaac.
Isaac. So what is it? Like,
so, I think it's Saamalu.
Saamalu. So Polamalu, yeah. Saamalu. There we go.
There
so,
you Saamalu. Go.
Yes, yeah. I completely agree. Saamalu is a really good player. That is by far and away their biggest free agent signing.
Yeah.
But all the other guys that they signed, including Patrick Peterson, and you're only giddy about it because you recognize the name and he used to be an All-Pro.
Yep.
Last year at this time, when they signed Miles Jack, everybody was all about it.
Guilty.
I believe it was 93.7 The Fan interviewed the Jaguars like ESPN reporter and that ESPN reporter said, hey, Miles Jack still is a decent player, but I'm going to tell you this right now, he's going to take some plays off. And Sunshine Steelers Nation was like, this guy's a hater. Miles Jack must have not talked to him in the locker room. He has a vendetta against Miles Jack. And what did we see with Miles Jack? He made a lot of tackles, but he was a Blutarski. 0.0. He had no sacks, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries.
The team in tackles, though. I mean, the guy wasn't bad. He just couldn't stay healthy.
It's a trade-off.
Okay. He couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. another guy that was good at tackling left, Terrell Edmonds, and everybody acts like that's not a big deal either. And then even Claude, even Claude saying, "Hey, you know, Patrick Peterson better than Cam Sutton." I'm not going. I will not go that far.
I don't agree,
because I will take a 25, 26 year old guy that's been here for four or five years.
In fairness, he's 27.
Sorry, but... 27. Anyway, whatever. I'm just saying that I don't know if they're better right now. I have some huge questions. What are they going to do at receiver right now? They're always like, why is Miles Boykin not – Miles Boykin hasn't been re-signed, and I think that guy's pretty good. He's a good special teamer.
Exactly.
Great special teamer.
You know, so if I can't say yes or no at this point, but going back to the Jack news that happened last year, just – I say these things with just – relax,
right,
and see what happens.
Grain of salt. Yeah. I think
Boykin wants a multi-year deal someplace, and at least that's what I'm hearing is the scuttlebutt. Yeah. He wants a multi-year deal someplace, like at least 3 years, and the offers he's getting are all for a year, including from the Steelers. So,
I wanted to ask about Peterson because there was a. Some scuttlebutt, if you will, last week that suggested that Mike Tomlin was open to using Peterson at safety. Ben, your thoughts on that?
He doesn't need him in safety.
I didn't really think so either.
What are you going to do? You're going to replace him at free safety? You're going to replace Minka Fitzpatrick at free safety with Patrick Peterson?
Well, right, because you're not going to put Peterson in the box. He's not a strong safety.
You're going to do what you did with Cam Sutton, which is, you know, there's plays where, depending on the rotation of the safeties, if Minka drops down to play that robber position, the strong safety moves over, the corner on the far side kind of moves back to play a cover two, the slot corner bounces out to play.
He's not a field corner. He's not that guy. He's not a guy who can cover little tiny water bug wide receivers out of the slot.
He's not a slot guy. No. But what I'm saying is there were plays last year. There were plays throughout Cam Sutton's career. Remember the play where Cam Sutton picked off Deshaun Watson when he played for the Texans?
Uh-huh. Yes.
He was playing safety on that play.
Yep.
Like he was the free safety deep. Like, I think it's not a Patrick Peterson's going to play safety all the time, but it's a, hey, in our defensive scheme, sometimes we ask our corners to rotate back and play a cover two role because of how we move our safeties around, right? I think it's more of that is what I took of it than he's going to, you know, replace one of the other safeties.
I think that's fair.
Sometimes your responsibilities as a corner is to backfill for the safety, or even, you know, depending on how we line up on the field, maybe you're lined up at safety because we lined up somebody somewhere else. You know, it's, I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
No, I think that's a fair assessment that it's not like, hey, you're replacing this guy. You're the starter the rest of the way at safety. I think it's going to be a scheme based thing, a rotation thing. And that just, I don't know. Scarps, did you have a thought on that at all? I mean, I thought you did a good job of breaking down the way you felt about him just in general, but
I mean, like, I'm not going to say that, like, he's not like, I know I joke on here a lot, but like, I'm not going to say that he's done or he's toast or whatever, but I don't like, not many Steelers have not many Steelers defensive backs have started games.
Steelers freak is right.
After they're 33 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of the names you'll recognize on that list, because we've grown to love them, and they were Hall of Famers, or not all Hall of Famers, but they won Super Bowls and some of them in the Hall of Fame. But like, you know, like I I've said this for weeks on the show. I don't like getting older at that position. And everybody on Steelers Twitter says, oh, well, they're going to draft a corner. They're going to draft. What happens if they don't? You know what I mean? Like, what happens if they don't draft a corner?
That's fair, but if the plan is to get older in order to get younger, if they follow through and that happens, and I'm not saying that the draft is going to fall exactly the way we're hoping it will, Ryan. I'm not.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah.
But, you know, if they do follow through and get younger at corner, then it works out. That's all I'm saying.
It just requires patience.
It does.
Football in general does.
I think at this point they could go corner, or they could go corner safety
Are we all in agreement that there's a real possibility that they could double dip on corners here?
It's such a good class that I think it's a very good possibility.
And I think that's
because the quality of those prospects, even in the middle rounds, is going to be very good.
This is a draft. I agree with you. This is a draft to me where there are going to be a good amount of corners that play a long time in this league that are not taken early. I'm talking third, fourth round guys. And, you know, like Ike Taylor-esque, like fourth round played for a million years, always was available. And, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I know Ike took a lot of shit because he didn't have the best hands. If he had, if he had hands, he'd probably be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But like, I would give anything to have a corner like that again.
So would I, man. Because he covered so damn well.
And for all the shit that he took, man, if you go back and look at when he locked up every number, he was always on an opposing number one.
He was a CB1.
Go look at like even AJ Green. People think like AJ Green.
AJ Green and Chad Johnson.
He did torture us. They tortured us, but Ike did a really good job against those guys. So
the only guy that ever had Ike's number was Demaryius Thomas, and it was
R.I.P. Demaryius Thomas.
But
part of that was physicality, though, too.
Yeah, it feels
Demaryius
like
Thomas
every...
was that guy who just you couldn't, you know,
right?
Yeah, every corner has that guy they struggle with, right? Like Joe Haden could lock down AJ Green, but always struggled with Antonio Brown because AB was just faster than him and quicker, you know, off the cuts.
And those little moves.
Yeah.
Right.
And Haden was a physical corner and could shut down the big guys like AJ Green who were bigger than him because he was more physical. But it was, you know, there's no perfect cornerback out there, you know, and there's no perfect receiver out there, right? Any receiver can get shut down by any cornerback too. Yeah. There's, you know, It's like edge rushers, right? Like, you know, there were guys that like James Harrison just ate for lunch every time he played him. And then there were guys like Joe Thomas that James Harrison just couldn't get around.
Who was the tackle that played for
the Chiefs? Eric Fisher.
Eric Fisher. Yes.
James Harrison just destroyed
him. Yes. God, that was embarrassing to watch.
I don't even like the Chiefs.
And Joe Thomas, you know, basically the way that Harrison dealt with Joe Thomas, for lack of a nicer way of putting it, was he would hook himself and then he would flop.
Yeah.
And he'd get a holding call or three. And Thomas would go, "That's fucking bullshit. And he wasn't wrong. But it was smart play. It was just smart play.
Right.
Hey, shout out to Wayne here, not only for his point that he made, but for the Spaceballs icon.
I was just going to go there myself. Once again, I'm surrounded by assholes.
She gives great helmet.
It quote that all night long. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's a, I'm going to call it a rumor, but there was a little bit of a report that came out tonight that said the Steelers could possibly be looking into trading James Daniels.
I could see it. They signed three guards.
I get it. I just don't know how you take the guy that was your best lineman and trade him.
I don't think you trade that guy. If it's anybody, you trade Kevin Dotson, but that's me.
Right. And obviously Kendrick Green is, I think he's probably going to go for a one or a
two. I think that Green is going to get traded for like a conditional seventh round pick based upon what happens with his next team.
Right.
You know, right. Good luck to him.
I
wish him the best.
Right. I just don't see Daniels being traded. But then again, as we get closer to the draft has changed, guys. Trades are happening more and more and more. So who the hell knows?
Yeah. They traded Martavis Bryant during the draft the one year. And
three.
You know, the other thing, too, is we don't know what's going to happen with the Rodgers and the Jets thing. That's going to change up some things in the draft, probably not in the first round, but
it sounds like the Packers are just looking for picks,
right?
They're not looking for players. So it probably won't won't change much in as much as what the Packers and Jets draft priorities are. You know what I mean?
Except
the Jets are going to have fewer picks.
I read the other day that the main holdup on that was that there was something with like a 2025 pick that the Jets wanted some conditions on that, basically like if Rodgers retired after 2024,
yes,
they wouldn't have to give up their 2025.
Yeah. The whole like holdup on this,
so it's pretty close.
The Jets are going, listen, if we're only going to get a year out of this guy, and we're going to have to pay him $50 million. We want some assurances that if that happens, we're going to be compensated. We're going to be made whole somehow.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't think that's unreasonable. I really don't.
No.
I agree. Because even for a team like the Jets that hasn't been relevant since Joe Willie Namath guaranteed a victory.
Hey, they went to two AFC championships.
Mark Sanchez, no less.
That's right.
That was a fucking good team. Shitty quarterback.
Yeah, back to back, 29-2010. The Rex Ryan is not a bad coach, but I agree. Like the Jets are like shit. Like, and that's the thing. It sucks about Rodgers. Like, he's such a pain in the ass, but like, he's a really good football player. He's a really good quarterback, and he absolutely puts them in contention.
But I mean, how many really good athletes are also a pain in the ass? There are lots of them.
Many.
Aaron Rodgers is not that unique.
No,
he's just a weird dude.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the best way of putting it. Pain in the ass and a weird dude.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I did, just circling back to our earlier conversation, though, I did want to say one other thing about sort of Mark's question on where the Steelers are now versus the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, we're maybe marginally, fractionally better than we were. But overall, I've been pretty happy with the job that Omar Khan has done. You know, he hasn't gone out and signed anyone to a ludicrous contract that's going to destroy our salary cap.
Ludicrous speed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stand up.
But also he's addressed some needs, right? Like, we knew inside linebacker was a problem. He signed two guys there. We knew cornerback was a problem. He signed a guy there, you know, had to deal with Terrell Edmunds basically deciding he didn't want to be here anymore, because for what he signed for in Philadelphia, that was a decision on his part. And, you know, address that with re-signing KZ and signing Keanu Neal, and then signed some offensive linemen, which was an issue last year too. So like, he's addressed positions of need and hasn't put us in a bad cap standpoint. And I think other than the Sayamalu contract, I think his was the only 3-year deal. I think everything else has either been a 1 or a 2-year deal. So really, that's not bad from a big picture, long term.
Sayamalu, everybody needs to learn that guy's name, because I am serious when I tell you, he is a star.
Yeah.
Do we know what number he's wearing? Have they announced it yet? And just out of curiosity,
I don't know.
He seems like a guy.
That's Kevin Dotson's number.
Kevin Dotson. Steel Dad, not to steal your thunder, but what are we drinking tonight?
It's funny you say that. I literally just polished off my most recent bottle of Bradshaw bourbon, so I've got a little bit left, but that's gone. And then I got a hazy hearted IPA from the fine folks at Bell's waiting in the refrigerator down by my feet here. Ian, I know you got a beer. What are you drinking right now?
I am drinking a Southern Tier Christmas Ale because it's Easter.
Wow. Because they were still in the fridge.
No, I have a keg of it. And somehow,
how much do you have left in that keg?
I don't know. I expected it to kick like 3 weeks ago, and I'm still pouring beers out of it. So it's a
delicious beer. We should all go over to Ian's house.
Yeah,
is what I'm hearing in this conversation.
I'm still drinking them.
Party at Ian's.
Yeah, I love winter beers. They're fucking great.
I do too.
I tried to go out and get a few cases of Jewel this year toward the end, but I was too late.
It goes fast even here.
It does. Yeah. And I usually buy 4 or 5 cases at the very end and just, you know, store them and, you know, kind of milk them a little bit at a time. But I wasn't able to do that this year. Ian has a kegerator. Lucky bastard.
Ben, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a fine Calumet 10-year bourbon.
Oh, delicious. Lovely.
It is quite delicious.
Calumet. I
didn't buy this. I got it for my birthday.
Okay.
Thanks, Johnny, wherever the fuck you are. He's not on tonight.
Oh, he's on here somewhere.
And it's 100 proof. Good stuff.
Wonderful. Scarps, and you're drinking?
Bombay Sapphire with a little splash of lemonade.
Ooh. Oh, you are drinking tonight.
Ooh, that is a fancy little drink.
I wasn't sure if you
right
would.
There.
Why?
Given how close Jess is to the delivering, I wasn't sure, honestly.
Listen, I got
no criticism at all here. I just wasn't sure.
What's
up, Melvin?
Three right turns and we're on the highway, baby. We're good to go.
What's a freak got going in here? Space Dust IPA with
that is so delicious.
Wedding cake,
wedding cake,
yeah, man.
I didn't know we were such a party.
Oh, where do you live, dude? I mean, I've seen all kinds of stuff at the dispensary, but wedding cake, that's a new one.
Steelers freak got a little Manfred Man blasting in the background.
I don't even smoke the weed, and I still am familiar with all that shit.
That's fantastic. You know, this program, we've talked numerous times about the fact that the Steelers have one of the smaller coaching staffs in the entire NFL. They did actually add to it this week. They have a new offensive assistant. His name is Glenn Taylor.
I think it's kind of weird that they Glenn didn't really Thomas. Announce what his
I'm sorry, what is it?
Goddamn name.
What?
It's Glenn Thomas. It's
whatever. Glenn Taylor, Glenn Thomas, they're all the same.
Well, I thought it was Glenn Miller. Fry. Wasn't Glenn Fry?
Well, no, he's dead.
R.I.P. Glenn Fry. Glenn Miller. R.I.P. Glenn Miller, right? Glenn Miller.
I'm sorry, you're absolutely right. Yeah, Glenn Thomas.
Thank you. So I just think it was weird that they didn't announce what his responsibilities were going to be. They made him a generic offensive assistant, like he's a fucking intern. He's going to be breaking down tape. And looking at his 20 years of experience, I don't think that's what he's going to be doing. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
His resume looks a little bit like Matt Canada's.
Oh, great.
He's been everywhere. Right. Now, he's actually had more time in the NFL, though, than Canada.
If he's there to tell Canada that's a stupid play, you shouldn't run that, then I'm all for it.
Now, does that mean he's going to replace the mustache guy next to Canada?
Mustache guy is the quality control coach. So I actually think Glenn Thomas leaped over the quality control coach. If Big Ben's bird are saying that this guy is Steelers,
a lot of people.
This
are
guy's
saying,
gonna be okay. Well, Big Ben's burner, you know I love you. I'm just
a lot
saying.
Of people are saying what Burner is saying
in the chat. Right. He said it, but yes, people are already saying that this guy's gonna be the Steelers' next offensive coordinator. And this fucking dude's gonna be getting coffee and donuts, man. Like, do not read anything into this. And he's not getting coffee and donuts, but like,
yeah, he will.
Look at it. Maybe
they're burgers.
Right.
You know
look
he
at,
will.
Look at it. Look at it. This. Look at it. This dude's resume. Okay. Look at this dude's resume. He was offensive coordinator last year at Arizona State, and we know You Play to Win the Game was the head coach at Arizona State, Herm Edwards.
Yep.
We know there's a lot of weird stuff that happened there. But they were like 80th, I believe, in points per game last year in college, like less than 27. So more than the Steelers average, but we're also talking about a lower right. level of football. So all day I've been trying to rack my brain and figure out where this guy came, like how does this guy fit in the Steelers puzzle? And I keep going back to he was on Mike Smith's staff for the Falcons for maybe 6-7 years.
Yep,
6 years, yeah.
And though Mike Smith and Mike Tomlin never coached together, Mike Tomlin always talked very highly of Mike Smith. They were both defensive coordinators at the same time. Yep. And it got me thinking, Glenn Thomas might have given somebody a scholarship. I'm being a dick. But no, I really do think that there is a Mike Smith, Mike Tomlin connection here. And maybe Mike Smith was trying to help a guy out or whatever. But yeah, Claude said they should have hired Byron Leftwich. And I'm going to say this right now. If you're going to bring – Brian Flores was brought on last year, and I think that was a good PR move for both sides. And good for Brian Flores.
Oh, yeah, Melvin.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the offense
last year? Wins what you're drinking award because
that stuff's
amazing.
Okay. Nobody was trying to hire Byron Leftwich for anything.
Okay, but here's the thing about that, Ben. Tampa Bay's offensive line was terrible. Brady was a statue. It could barely throw anymore. Leonard Fournette is busted. And then literally Brady looked like a shell of his former self.
Yeah. But
I'm just saying,
you can make the argument that before that Brady was making the offense run because he's Brady,
but they had a much better offense.
Great
line.
Players make good coaches.
Yes.
And that when he's dealt a hand of average players, he can't make it work. No one was knocking down Byron Leftwich's door to hire him.
That's an even better reason to fucking hire the guy. he could have got it for cheap. There's a little Pittsburgh connection. Noah's right. Todd Bowles, super nice guy. Not a good head coach.
Both things can be true though. That he had an awful Tom Brady, no running game, terrible offensive line. Then he had a better Tom Brady, a better offensive line. You know,
and they won a Super Bowl.
Right, and Ben's right though. Great players make coaches. They just do.
So
at the end of the day, I just think that Tomlin
Brady
probably
made Belichick.
He didn't want to bring on
made him.
He didn't want to bring on Leftwich just because he didn't want Canada to feel like he
I
was
think
looking
Bra-
over
I agree.
Shoulder.
I think Brady made a lot of people, but yes, I agree, and I do think I can't believe I'm saying this because I do think Belichick might be on a little bit of a hot seat this year.
Come on, he is not. He's going to be just like Chuck Knoll. He can coach there as long as he wants.
Dude, he's
forever.
Old,
the guy won 6 rings there.
But he's old.
He will leave there when he retires. He's never, ever leaving. Ever.
Well, he's – what's he, like 18 away from Shula?
He is old.
It's 70, a little more than that.
I thought it was in the teens now, but okay.
You're probably right, but he's also old.
Redbreast is good shit. Right, Mark?
Yes, it is. It is. It is absolutely good shit. Thank you, Ben.
He's 30 away from Shula. Shula has
30.
Yeah,
and he's 70.
Shula has 328. Belichick has 298.
Oh, yeah,
shit. Oh, it's about 800 fucking rolling out there every week. So,
how many fucking years is Shula coach? I mean, my God.
That's a good question.
Well, I'm guessing. Ian has that stat.
40, 50 I just
as a head coach. It was some ridiculous fucking number. I remember that.
I think I've covered what I wanted to cover before we got to the draft stuff. Anything else before we get to the draft stuff?
Ben did not make Tomlin, Melvin. I do not see that Ben made Tomlin. No.
Shula coached
Ben
32
had,
years.
Ben 32? Had a lot of years that were But there are a lot of people that will make the case that Ben made Tomlin. So, you know, we'll see in the next few years.
I would also say too, if you and I know the defense also sucked in those playoff games in the last, but Ben also sucked too. Ben was never
turn the ball over.
Ben has not been good in the playoffs.
Ben,
can't turn
in
the ball
10
over
years.
Like that.
And I know, like you say that, but it's like, oh yeah, the throw to Santonio. And then he had that amazing
Ben hasn't been good
run.
Let's be honest. Ben hasn't been good in the playoffs since the suspension.
He sucked in Super Bowl 40.
Since the suspension.
43 was pretty
clutch. In 40, in 40, he had some clutch plays. He had some clutch third down conversions.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that touchdown when he ran in, which I still think was a touchdown. But
it was.
But yeah, it counted.
Mike Holmgren
disagrees. It was. Fuck Mike Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren, he's still screwing up the end of the half.
My point is just that in the last decade of Ben's career, he was not good in the playoffs. Okay.
I completely agree.
Now, with the exception of that game in Kansas City, where he was just fucking unreal, I was like, oh my God, this is like Denver again. This is awesome. He's back. And then it was one game.
Well, yeah. Just as we move over towards the draft, you know, we were talking about Keanu Neal not really making starters money. You know, it was a few years ago that the Steelers signed Morgan Burnett, and we kind of all thought that safety was no longer going to be a top priority, and that was the year they took Edmonds in the first round. How'd that work out? Yeah, well, exactly. You know, so the possibility does exist. They could be still bad looking. Signing.
Not a great first round pick. I'm just saying, if it takes him in the second round,
they signed they signed an inside linebacker the year they took Miles Jack too.
Yeah, they signed Steven. What's his fuck? Now it's gonna bug the shit out of me.
Not Avery Williamson. Steven.
No, they traded for Williamson later in the year.
Steven Johnson, wasn't it?
No, that was Steven Johnson was like when I still worked there, 2014, 2015. Good dude. Steven Johnson. Good dude.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Whoever it was. Yeah. But
John Bostic, too.
Yeah, John Bostic.
John Bostic.
Was. Yeah.
That wasn't John Bostic.
What I'm saying is they've double dipped.
J.J. Wilcox.
Yes.
They signed a free agent and drafted someone at that position.
The guy played for the fucking the Rams. Jesus, what was his name? Why
Mark
can't
Barron.
I
say
Mark Barron?
Mark Barron. Yeah. That's it.
He was the guy who busted.
I wasn't
Ben's
even
knee.
Close. I called him Steven.
Busted whose knee?
Steven.
Ben's knee.
Sylvester Stevenson.
That's right. That's when, right.
When
Louis.
They were in St. Louis.
Steven
yeah.
Sylvester.
Yeah, that was that like Stevenson
Sylvester.
Yep.
2010 draft pick, fifth round.
All right, let's talk some draft stuff here. I know a lot of the listeners are dying to get into that, so let's do it.
What's his fuck is my Madden name? That's very creative, Aaron.
Okay, so let's go with this. How about Scarps? I'll start with you.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna give you a player and you tell me whether or not you would trade up to get him. All right.
Okay.
So the player I'm gonna give you is
Survey
Christian
says?
Gonzalez.
Oh.
Would
that?
You trade up to get him?
How far do you have to trade up?
I'm going to say.
You need context here.
Well, yeah, okay.
I think that's part two of the question is if you would trade up, how far
right.
would you trade up for him?
Right. So okay. Would you trade up for him and how far would you go?
I mean, I really do like the play. That's the thing. If you like the player enough, then I think you should consider it. My one thing about Christian Gonzalez is he's only a sophomore.
Okay. Steelers love those young guys.
How much the better?
I'm just saying. But in my opinion, if you take a corner in the first round, I want him to be a little bit more experienced at the college level because I believe he's going to have to play significant snaps this year. So
I don't disagree with that.
So okay, that's fine. I am not going to move up and give away picks. Now, if it's a couple spots and it's not a big deal, then fine. But I'm not moving. I'm not.
If you had to draft a Troy Polamalu again, and you knew that his rookie year was going to be less than stellar, but he'd be a Hall of Famer, how would you feel about that? Would you do it?
This dude is not Troy Polamalu.
I agree.
I'm going to tell you this. In case he's going to touch on this later, if Dick LeBeau was the defensive coordinator,
yeah,
I'd do that. But Dick LeBeau ain't walking through that door.
No, he's not. Okay. So just to be clear, you would trade for him. But you're not going to trade very far for him.
If he's there at 17, yes, I'd absolutely take him.
Okay. All right.
But
yeah.
If he's there at 15, I'd think about it. But if we're talking about moving up like at a Devin Bush scenario, I'm not doing
then
that.
No. Okay. Ian, I'm going to give you Devin Witherspoon of Illinois.
Oh, man. I wanted Gonzalez. All right.
You can talk about Gonzalez. Yeah, I'm just.
All right. I was going to say Gonzalez is easy for me. I would trade up as far as number 8 with Atlanta. To get
holy shit.
Woo!
All right.
That's a rich trade.
That is rich.
Wow. God bless. I like it.
It would be
richer than my wife's chocolate mousse.
Yeah.
It would. Honestly, we could get away with it for number 17, number 49, and like a future fourth. But at any rate,
Right.
We still would have a second round pick, but okay. At any rate, Witherspoon, I don't love him. I don't think the Steelers love him. Uh-huh. The Steelers haven't really spent a lot of time on him. It seems like in this draft cycle. So I don't think he doesn't seem like a guy who's really on their radar a whole lot. They didn't send anybody to, or they sent some scout to Illinois Pro Day, but not like any of their main guys, right?
The big guys did not go there.
Yep. It wasn't any of the big guys, and it wasn't even like Dan Colbert or any guy whose last name is Rooney, because they've got like six of them working in the office.
Aaron, we're not getting Paris Johnson.
We'll get into that.
But there's some other corners that they've taken a look at recently. The kid from Mississippi State, the kid from Forbes, South Carolina. They've had both of those guys in for visits. That I don't know if they would take them in the first round, but at 32, mm-hmm. both of those guys are awfully enticing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't trade up for Withers.
All right, very good. Ben, I'm going to give you Lucas Van Ness. Would you trade up for him?
No.
Okay.
No. Why?
What if he's sitting at 17?
Yeah, hell yeah, I'd take him.
Okay.
At 17, but I wouldn't trade up for him.
Definitely not trading up for him.
No.
Okay. I'd agree with that, yeah.
No, but if he's still there, would I take him? Yeah, I probably would, depending on what other, if Broderick Jones is there at 17 and Lucas Van Ness is there at 17, fuck no.
Mm-hmm.
I take Deontay Banks over Lucas Van Ness. And I'm not saying that these guys are better players than Van Ness. I'm saying they don't need Van Ness as much as they need those positions.
Agreed.
They need a corner way worse. They need a left tackle way worse.
Well, so maybe what the question could or should be is, of these tackles, we're talking about Paris Johnson. We're talking about, I guess Skronsky, although many think he could be a guard or center.
Skronsky's going to be the first offensive lineman taken off.
I think so, too. And then obviously you've got Broderick Jones that you mentioned. And are you trading up for any of these guys?
I would trade up for Gonzalez, but I probably wouldn't go.
Well,
of those tackles. I don't think I'd trade up for Paris Johnson because I don't think there's that much difference between he and Broderick Jones. Broderick Jones, if he got to 15, I'd have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
14, 15, I'd have to consider it. Duan Jones, no. I wouldn't trade up for him.
Nor would I.
If he's still there at 17, I'd have to consider it again, depending on who's still on the board. Skoronsky's going to be gone. I'm not even trying to measure that out. But back to the corners. Because I just want to throw this in there. I think Witherspoon is the first corner off the board.
I think so, too. He's the hottest.
It's not just because he's the hottest. It's because he fits what Detroit wants to do so well. And players are successful in the NFL because the scheme matches their abilities, right? And mm-hmm. he just fits what they want to do on the field so well that I think they just can't pass. They're going to take him first. And I think that Witherspoon will probably go to Atlanta, but maybe
Gonzalez.
Not. I'm sorry, Gonzalez. We'll probably go to Atlanta. And we probably won't have a shot at that. I mean, I wouldn't go up to 8 for Gonzalez. I wouldn't go up to 8 for that. I mean, I think he's good, but as Ryan pointed out, do I think he's a Hall of Famer? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck knows? I mean, we're amateur draft nicks. Honestly, do we really know who's going to be a Hall of Famer coming out of this class? No.
The professional draft nicks don't know.
Shit, they get it wrong. They're worse than weathermen.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Witherspoon's the first corner off the board.
I agree with that.
I think that little tiny water bug wide receiver out of Ohio State, what's his name? Who's
Jackson Smith and Jigma?
Here's a guy that doesn't know the weather.
Say that again for me.
Sorry.
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
His brother, Jigba. I think he's the first wide receiver off the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And it'll be about 14, 15.
Yep.
And he's not an imposing guy, but damn, is he talented. It's
great route runner.
Fucking quick. Sick.
Yeah. Gets like off the line.
He's plug and play.
Yeah.
You put him in day one.
And yeah. And here's the other interesting thing, too, because we saw this happen last year, right? That teams valued essentially number one current wide receivers about the same as a latter half of the first round pick, right? Like pick 18, 19, 20 last year was when you saw like the AJ Brown trade, the Marquise Brown trade, like those things all started to happen right in a row. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, teams were.
I still can't believe the Cardinals traded a number one pick for Marquise Brown.
I can't.
So
either.
Fucking stupid.
But, I know it.
But
they're going to be awful this year. Yeah, fucking but, terrible.
But nevertheless, like we're kind of, I feel like at 17, we're kind of right on that crux point of like, I'm not saying we're not going to trade our pick for a while. Absolutely not. No. But, right. You know,
maybe there's, I mean, strange depending on still on the board. I mean, well, weird things have happened. Sliding back a couple of spots.
That's like, a great question. If he's still there, you would have
talking
to
about
think
today
about
on
it.
Slack. You brought this up today on Slack. You and I were going back and forth, and it was like, what would you do? So depending on who's the board at 15, if somebody wants to get up to 17 to nab some wide receiver, and we're like, well, we don't want a wide receiver. We don't give a shit. Yeah. Okay. Well, what are you offering?
I mean,
right.
They do not know what they got in Kelvin Austin III.
No.
I mean, how would you know?
Tyreek Hill? Exactly.
That's not his fault.
No, it's not at all.
You can find a slot receiver in the third or fourth round. Like
Steelers Twitter told me that he's the next Tyreek Hill.
Well, you know, Steelers Twitter also told me that he returns kicks, which, by the way, he fucking doesn't. He never has.
Thanks, Melvin, for giving us a little shout out there. Yeah, please do. Subscribe. Love it. Absolutely. Claude brought up Jalen Carter. I mean, what if he tumbles? Do you take the risk?
Yes. Yes.
You have to.
Yes. That guy is fucking otherworldly.
Yeah.
He is seriously. I mean, you can't, if that guy tumbles to 17, you have to take him, in my opinion. The kid from Pitt who plays defensive tackle and shits gold.
Kalijah Clancy.
Yeah.
Kalijah Clancy. You know, and I had this from reliable sources in Pittsburgh that he also shits gold. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. That's what I heard. I don't know if you guys know this, but he played for the University of Pittsburgh.
Did he really?
He did.
That is breaking news that you will only
he
find
did.
On
and,
this program.
And he's very, very good. He is. Next Aaron Donald. Honestly, I would not be, depending on who's still there, if they took Clancy at 17, I'd be like, yeah.
Wow, okay, at 17.
I'm okay with this pick. I'm okay with this pick.
Okay.
Because right. I mean, he's going to be a guy who's going to play in the league for over a decade, and he's not that strong at the point of attack, but goddamn, he's so good in pass rush situations. Oh,
he gets up the field so friggin' fast,
so fucking quick, and he gets around guys like they don't even have a shot at blocking him.
He would be great in like. And I would love him as a Steeler, but he would be great in like the Jim Schwartz wide nine scheme where
Jim
it's like
Schwartz,
play the run on the way to the quarterback, basically, where it's just like, you know, if you miss a running back, who cares, but get to the quarterback. Like he would be incredible in that kind of scheme.
He's in Cleveland now, isn't he?
I don't Schwartz? Know where he is.
I think
he's Cleveland traded all their DC. Picks, so who cares?
I think yes. He is in Cleveland now.
Yeah. I like these scenarios.
Wide
though.
Nine this year.
The Smith and Jigba at 17. I mean, if he's sitting there and unless
that's
somebody
really,
else...
really hard to pick up, even though you don't want them to take a wide receiver at 17, I don't think he'll be there anyway.
I don't either.
But
I don't either.
I don't
what
mind
do you
if
do?
I... If he is there, how do you pass that up?
Right.
Because you're looking at Tyreek Hill. You're like, right fucking there. How do I pass on this?
Right.
I don't give a shit if they take him at 17 as long as it's not Jordan Addison, because him and Kenny Pickett are so good together. You know,
they're not taking fucking Jordan Addison.
No, I don't think so either.
Why is this even a thing still?
They've paid very little attention to him.
Did anyone from the Steelers even go to the USC Pro Day? Anyone?
Yeah, one guy did.
They had a scout there, I think.
They had the West Coast scout there?
They liked the edge
kid.
That's
good.
Was it Bruner?
Bruner was in Washington.
Bruner's
so
in the Midwest now, isn't he?
Sadowski.
Sadowski, okay.
No, Bruner lives in the Seattle area.
That's right. Yeah, he's still out there. Yeah. They do like the edge from USC.
They do. They had him in for a visit.
Right. Right.
I feel like there's so many guys that like they've had in for visits or they've scouted at pro days that I'm kind of like, I don't love this guy at 17, but he would be incredible at 32.
Melvin,
there's like 7 or 8 guys.
I would love Darnell Washington at 32, but it ain't going to happen now.
Yeah.
We signed a second tight end.
Right.
It's over with. The reason I want Darnell Washington has nothing to do with tight end. I think he's going to be an incredible player. And I think my instinct is that somebody like the Ravens or the Bengals is going to draft him and he's going to torture us forever.
But the reason I want the Steelers to
take him is I think that he could play left tackle. He could be that guy who takes the Larry Brown path. And I'm going back here to the 70s. Who comes on as a tight end. And they're like, hey, man, you know, if you put on some weight, you can play left tackle and make $20 million a year. Really?
Well, I'm telling you right now. So all the driving I did last week, I listened to a lot of NFL radio. And I think it was Adam Kaplan, and I can't remember who he was on with, said the exact same thing. Somebody's going to draft the Washington kid, turn him into a tackle.
I'm just telling you. He's going to play tight end for a couple of years and then move to tackle. And he's going to be good.
Yeah. I watching him on the sled was unbelievable.
He's Seattle powerful now.
Kid from Penn State.
Gary Gilliam.
Gilliam. Yeah.
Gary
yeah.
Gilliam.
Yeah. Gilliam or Gilliam?
Gary Gilmore?
I don't know.
Oh, shut up.
Gary Jesus. Glitter?
Gary Glitter. Yeah. Let's
Gary Glitter is not a good person. FYI.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He
should just beat his ass to the Sharks.
Not a good person.
Yeah.
But Rock and Roll Part 2 is decent. I'm not going to lie.
And the other thing, too, I mean, we've talked about how many players right now. 6-7 guys that we've all said, like, oh, if that guy's there at 17, they got it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
We'd be cool with them taking him.
And that's the thing that's awesome about this draft class.
Well,
we're not so far back that we're not going to get the guy who makes a difference.
Right.
Although I said that about Devin Bush. So,
well, think about this way, though, right? Like, only 16 guys are going to go off the board before us.
Right.
Probably at least 3 of them will be quarterbacks. Throw in a couple linemen, a couple corners. You know, there's going to be a couple guys there that we're like, yeah, you know, I mean, it might not be our first priority or our first love, but I feel like what they've done in free agency right now, that they've
given them some freedom.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wait, which corner? There, Mark's up there. Exactly. Exactly, Mark. Good point, Mark. They could go out right now and play a football game and against half the league be competitive, not against the top tier of the league, but
no.
They could be, you know, but they're in a position now where they don't have to draft a certain position.
Right. They're not locked in.
They can pick the best player available.
We talk about this every year. And then after the
draft
is over.
Yeah, but like last year they kind of had to take a quarterback.
Okay. Did they?
Fuck no.
They didn't have to.
They didn't have to, but.
They didn't have to.
Well, we could have just ridden with Mitch and Rudy.
I mean, and it wouldn't have been pretty. We know this.
No.
And you know what?
By the same token, that the quarterback class last year. The quarterback class last year was not good. That's why that was why we were all like, this isn't a great idea. No, don't do this.
Noah had a good question about Darnell Wright. He's a guy that's been creeping up draft board. I keep seeing him slip into the first round. A really good showing against some of the top pass rushers in the SEC. He's a little slow-footed from what I remember watching him, but man, he uses his body
well. That Wright is a guy that you're going to see – in the second round.
Here's a guy.
Early to mid second round.
That's where I thought he would be, but now I keep hearing these pundits say he's creeping towards the first, but
creeping is bullshit. I mean, the squad, the teams have had their board set for weeks.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Creeping is creeping up draft next boards on the internet because they're talking to people and they're getting good reports on these guys.
Sure.
That's all that is.
And I mean, if we took Darnell Wright at 32. We would have had pick
32 if Mason had had the reins. Where is Scarps?
We'll have to remember to pull that one up for him.
Burner, we still have pick number 32. So there we go. I think that was a sick burn with pick 32. We've been number one. We've had number one also. They sent Pat Meyer, offensive line coach, to Tennessee's pro day. I think they've definitely taken a look at Wright. And I think Wright was at Senior Bowl, I think.
Senior Bowl.
Yeah. And Tomlin was all over that. I mean, basically talked to everybody there. So,
right.
I wouldn't hate Wright at 32 if he's there. There's so many guys in this draft class.
At 32, I agree with you. At 17, yeah. I'd be pissed.
That's a little high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just throw this out there just because I wouldn't be me if I didn't.
Burner, we need to do that.
Any chance of a QB at 17?
No.
At 17?
What if?
Okay.
What if a Levis drops to 17? Anthony Richardson's sitting there?
If Anthony Richardson's sitting there, you have to take a chance, in my opinion.
I mean, his ceiling is so freaking high, you can't see it.
Will Levis is there, then you pick up the phone and start calling people and trade. Yeah, and you down. Go, hey.
Well, hey, that I agree with. Yeah.
You want this guy? And honestly, Will Levis probably will be there at 17. And Tampa, who is two picks behind, will want him. So, you make that call to Tampa and you say, you want to come up?
Yeah.
Do you want to chance it?
Yeah, you got to work those phones. As far as the question about quarterback late, you know, the Steelers took Chris Olatokun last year in the seventh round. He ended up winning a Super Bowl ring with the Chiefs.
As a practice squad player, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they will. I think they'll ride with Mitch and Kenny, and I think they'll just
They've got to add two more quarterbacks.
Yeah, they got to have another three.
Think they'll just do that in free agency after the draft?
I think they can. I think they could sign an undrafted free agent of a lot of Coons.
I think a UDFA is number four. I think as a number three, though – I would.
Do you think they draft one?
I think they signed somebody.
They've talked to a few quarterbacks. In the run up.
They've got. We've got 3 seventh-round picks. I would not be surprised if we took a quarterback, two seventh-rounders. Sorry, two seventh-round picks. I wouldn't be shocked if one of those was a quarterback that was either the number four or number three on the roster at the tail end. It wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't shock me. Honestly, it would not shock me. If Mason Rudolph comes back.
No, I was thinking about that today, actually.
It would not shock me. By the way, where's that comment that Burner posted earlier?
Hold on.
We need to post that for Scarps.
Hold on.
We need to.
Oh, there we go. There you go, Scarps.
Hey, man. The fucking dude did his job. He's been a consummate pro throughout a very weird career, and he has better numbers than Kenny Pickett did in his first year.
Hey, it's a $10 million cap hit. They're not paying $10 million.
Right.
But that's just the way they manage their fucking cap. That's why his cap hit is so high. They are paying him $8 million, which is a lot of money to pay a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Which is why it would not shock me, because apparently Mitch doesn't want to sign an extension.
No,
I wouldn't either. No. I was getting $8 million.
No, would hell
you?
No.
I mean, he's sit like, on that. Why?
Yeah. Other guys, you know, a guy that's been real quiet in recent weeks has been the defensive tackle out of Clemson, Breesy. I like him too
at 32.
At 17.
Is it Breesy or Bressy?
I don't know.
I thought it was Bressy, but I was.
I heard both.
We need Dane Brugler's beast to come out so that we get the pronunciation guide on these guys.
You're exactly right. April 10th is when his beast comes out.
It's Bressy.
Is it Bressy?
Brian Bressy.
Okay. All right.
Come on, Bressy.
Come on. Bressy.
Bussy? Dexter Bussy?
You know, there are a handful of guys there that at 17 that I'd be like, yeah, this is a good pick. I'm fucking happy.
Well,
and I'll be honest, and this was the thing Ben and I were going back and forth on, was we were talking about offensive linemen today, and and Mark too, that we were kind of like, you know, is this guy more of a right tackle or a left tackle? And I was like, honestly, I've been wanting them to take an offensive tackle for like 3 years now. If they take a tackle
five,
I'll be thrilled. I don't care if he's more of a right tackle and we got to figure out where Chooks goes, or if he's a left tackle.
If they took Duane Jones at 17, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, that's too high.
Especially it's if you were drafting 17 and 49, okay, I could see it, because at 49 he won't be there.
Right.
But you're drafting 17 and 32.
Yeah.
So no, you take the best player available at
you
that
absolutely
spot.
Take the best player available. Totally, but I'm agree. Just saying, if we take a lineman, I'll be happy.
I would not be pissed.
Yeah.
At 17 or 32.
Honestly, at 17, if they get Broderick Jones, I'll be
inject that into my veins.
What the hell did Russ Grimm once say about Max Starks? You know, you need a cab to get around this guy. He's so big. That's Broderick Jones.
You know, so remember, I keep going back to this, but last
Berner's
year
Berner's got to bring this shit up again.
I know, that's Humphrey. What I, that's why
we
I
loved
it.
Creed Humphrey on this. You can go back and
dude,
watch
you can go back to my
shows.
Fucking tweets. I wanted Creed Humphrey in the first round that year.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think I was on the show at that point.
No, you weren't. No. We love Creed Humphrey that
we
year.
We took Najee.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. I know that.
I wanted them to trade back and then take Humphrey.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that.
Guys, it's okay though. We got Najee Muth. Everything Najee is Muth. Fine.
Yeah, you know what? They could have not taken Muth and also taken Humphrey. That would have been awesome too.
I know. That was tough.
I would have been fine with that.
You know, I would also say last year, I remember the Patriots took Cole Strange in the first round.
Yeah.
And
you loved him.
I did. But I said like third round. I would love
him. But that's what he had on him was the third round.
But, and you remember,
he's a good player.
He shut down Cam Hayward. Yeah.
He took Cam's lunch, man. And not many people could do that.
No.
And so I look at this as
Cam backed him up a couple of steps, but then he stood his ground. Mm-hmm. I was like, Jesus Christ.
And so
usually when Cam gets a jump on somebody like that and he starts shoving them in the backfield, they're done.
Cam is an
he managed to recover.
Player.
I mean, that's like a young guy learning his job. Yes. Learning off the job,
second
and
day.
Being good enough anyway. That was really fucking impressive in my opinion.
So I look at that as okay. Maybe people might have thought that was a reach at the time, but obviously the guy can play. So then I look at this as an opportunity for the Steelers to maybe not gamble, but you know, maybe take a guy. Okay. If there was one draft where they take a guy at 32 that I might not be like, I don't know. I'm not saying it's Duane Jones, but if it's a Cole Strange type, I'd be like, that ain't so strange to me.
Cole Strange.
Okay. I'm just saying that like,
no, you're not going to get Cole.
Yes.
Cole Strange.
Like they, that's a Tomlinism a little bit.
Okay. So here's
Cole Strange. Hey,
here's one more. What if for you, what if Bijan Robinson's still there at 17?
Oh my God! No,
no, I will drink Mon River water.
And I love Bijan Robinson.
I do
love
too.
Him. I fucking love
I
him.
I do too.
But no, we can't get him enough snaps.
No, I agree. I just
unless I mean,
it.
If you do that, you're trading Najee. You're trading him.
You're and right.
At best, Najee right now. At best, you're going to get a third round pick. At best,
nobody's taking Najee. Let's be honest. Nobody is taking him.
No.
No. Nobody's trading for Najee.
Somebody would trade for him.
If Bijan Robinson is there at 17, if he gets through like New England at 14 and Green,
I think New England takes him.
Yeah, if he gets past New England at 14, if he's there at 17, you call up the Chargers and you're like, hey. Austin Eckler wants out. Do you want to move up like four spots from 21 to 17 to take Robinson?
Berner, if he goes to any team in the north, I will drink bleach. If who goes to
Robinson?
Any team in the, Robinson goes to any team in the north?
Yeah. I wouldn't be thrilled either.
Yeah. Well, Cleveland's set, and I mean, it would be Baltimore, which would fucking suck if that happened.
Yes.
Why would it be Baltimore, though?
Because the Bengals and the Browns is pretty much set at running back.
Okay, yeah. Dobbins is hurt, but they got Dobbins, they got Gus Edwards, they got Justice Hill. Like, they're pretty good.
They got a three-headed monster, but if you have an opportunity to get a guy like that at 22, you fucking take him.
And Cleveland doesn't have a pick in the first two rounds, so, like, they're just out of
it. No, you're not wrong.
What about an edge rusher at 17?
Yes.
Which one? We talked about this earlier, and I was like, no, not trading up for him.
Well, I mentioned Lucas Van Ness.
I wasn't sure if I was going to make the show tonight. And typically, you know, 2 weeks ago when we did a show, Mark was like, I'm going to ask you guys this question every week until the draft. And they didn't ask it tonight. Who do you think the Steelers are going to draft?
Well, I messaged Mark
earlier in the week, and I was like, hey, if I don't make the show, my guy that I think they're going to take is Lucas Van Ness, which was a bit of a change up from, saying Brian Branch the last weeks. But, they were at Iowa's pro day and they haven't done anything with Alex Highsmith's contract yet. And we've talked about it on the show that, you know, I don't know if they have the budget to sign two edge rushers to what Highsmith plus TJ Watt are going to command, you know, from a contract standpoint.
This is a good edge class, by the way.
If you have an opportunity,
there's a variety of guys.
There are seven guys at the top of the board that are
They're all a little different.
The thing I'll
not
say
all
that,
like
so,
first round guys, but they're good.
Yeah. The kind of weird thing about this class though is you've got a couple guys that are like good speed rushers, but really undersized in Nolan Smith from Georgia and Will McDonald from Iowa State, who they went to Iowa State's pro day this year.
Now, if Nolan Smith is there and he can play inside outside, do you grab that guy?
Oh, absolutely.
I would.
Oh my God.
I would. You can put him anywhere.
That's Lawrence Timmons again.
Yeah.
Fucking love Law Dog. He was the best.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's a guy you're going to get 10 years out of. That's a good first round pick.
Yeah. I've had drinks.
Yeah. I've had drinks.
We've had some drinks. So you've got two guys in like Nolan Smith and Will McDonald who are both under 240, which is like extremely small for an edge rusher. Like usually you want those guys 250 to 270.
Right.
But then you also have guys like Lucas Van Ness from Iowa and the kid from USC. I can't pronounce his name, Tuli Tulapatula or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That are like 270, which is like the much bigger end.
The kid that I think was in Pittsburgh today from Georgia Tech is 285.
Yeah.
Keon
White is a good player, dude.
He's very athletic for his
size. I mean,
you're 285, you're a 5-tech, 3-tech.
They'll make him lose weight at 285, right, in my opinion. Yeah. But you know, if he's gonna play edge, because he's gotta drop back and cover.
Yeah.
Cover.
Right. Well, and that's the question, right? When I was looking at Lucas Van Ness, like Iowa lined him up inside and outside in their 4-3 front. And Iowa State with Will McDonald ran the stupidest friggin' defense I've ever seen. Like, honestly, they ran like a 3-2-6 dime every play. And I was like, this is the dumbest defense. And he was like an end in the three of the two and then the six defensive backs. And I was like, no wonder Iowa State went 6-6.
It's really hard to scout him. It's really hard to watch his tape and go, okay, this guy's going to translate as an edge in the NFL like this.
McDonald's a guy that I'm like 32 or 49. Yeah, I could make an argument for that in the second round, but not in the first. But some of the other guys like Nolan Smith in the first, absolutely. The kid from USC in the second, yeah, definitely. Kid from Georgia Tech sometime, not in the first, but later on. Yeah.
You don't think so? You think 32, not 17?
Not 17. Yeah. Wait, with who? Nolan Smith is
Miles
the only
Murphy,
guy.
Keon White, that kind of range.
Murphy, I think.
Born on him.
Yeah, I don't know about Murphy.
Not at 17 for me.
32? Yeah.
32,
yeah, yes.
I consider it there.
Yeah.
I like Murphy.
But
he's still a guy who, now here's a guy. needs to develop his
Casey rush. Should be fun here soon.
Yeah, fire him up. We're almost there.
He's an athlete who needs to develop his pass rush moves at this point. He looks raw. He looks awkward. That's it. He looks awkward. Now, when they drafted TJ Watt, they were like, Jesus Christ, this kid's a great athlete. He doesn't have any pass rush moves at all. But Jesus Christ, he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
And he's got the lineage and he got the work ethic. Yeah, let's take him.
Goddamn hands could palm a medicine ball.
Who's that?
TJ Watt.
And I'll say this one last thought on Lucas Van Ness, too. He had the second best three cone time in the draft class of the edge rushers.
Yeah.
It was over seven, but it was seven. Lucas Van Ness. It was 7.02. It was 7.02. Yeah. So a hair over seven, but still
And who had the best three cone time?
This kid from Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, they keep pumping out edge rushers for some reason.
Mac Pride Nation.
Mac Pride, baby. Aaron had talked about Ivan Pace, a kid from Cincinnati. If I saw that correctly, he had the highest cognitive score for all the linebackers, I think.
Wow.
In terms of recognition and stuff. So, neat. I don't know. I've heard him.
I think the kid from Pitt, Servoisier Dennis.
His was ridiculously high. His was
second highest. Passes Servoisier.
Crevassier?
Crevassier.
Pass the Servoisier.
Servoisier.
Charcuterie? Anyway, we're getting off track.
What do you guys think of Kyrie Wilson?
Is Casey Kasem on deck?
Huh?
What do you think of Tyree Wilson, by the way, since we're talking edge players?
I think he's going to go top six or seven.
I think Will Anderson will. I do not think Tyree Wilson will go
top six. If Detroit doesn't go corner, they'll go him. And he could slide a little bit.
I think he'll be in the middle of the first.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say top 15. I don't think Tyree Wilson's there for us, but I'd say top 15.
Well, that might be.
That'd be sneaky.
See, this is one of the things 17. That it's like they're going to have to look at it at about 15, go, okay, who's still on the board? Who wants to move up work the phones? Because this really is a very good class at the top. And people are going to have needs, and you're going to be like, well, I don't really need a pass rusher that bad. I have TJ Watt. So what are you offering?
Yeah.
Hey, in every year, there's always a surprise pick, and there's always a couple of trades.
And there are a lot more trades now than there used to be.
You just can't predict it.
Shout out to Dallas for taking Taco instead of TJ. Fuck yeah!
That was funny. Oh, my God. Taco.
And looking back over the last few years, there have been some really good players taking
Taco
at 17.
Taco is now Gordita Supreme Crunch.
Derwin James fell to 17 for the Chargers that one year. CeeDee Lamb went 17 to the Cowboys. There are good players available at 17.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to turn things over to Mr. Casey Kasem as we wrap this episode up here.
I think that Casey's pouring himself a drink.
Casey's had 2 weeks to come up with a real gem here. So, ladies and gentlemen, from the dead, Mr. Casey Kasem.
Casey's coast to coast, American top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was April 6, 1983. Ryan from Pittsburgh writes, Dear Casey, I've been listening to a lot of Genesis this week. The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway in particular. Genesis, as you know, was an English progressive rock band, arguably one of the most influential prog rock bands of all time. When you look at the band's overall career, you can split it into two eras. There was the Peter Gabriel era and the Phil Collins era. In my opinion, they were a better band with Peter Gabriel at the helm, but they were more popular with Phil Collins at the helm. Regardless, Genesis was great in both eras. Much like Genesis, you could split Matt Canada's coordinating tenure with the Steelers into two parts.
What are you doing?
With Ben and with Kenny Pickett, the Steelers' first-round pick in the 2022 NFL draft that went to the University of Pittsburgh. However, much unlike Genesis, both of Matt Canada's eras have absolutely sucked. If Matt Canada coordinated Genesis, he would have Peter Brady and Dr. Phil as lead singers. He has no idea how to put his players in positions to succeed. It's always the same. It's just a shame. That's all. But Casey, it's hard not to get a little optimistic about the Steelers offseason. I think they've added some key pieces, veteran leadership, and have set themselves up nicely for the draft. I'm not going to go full Sunshine Crew and say they'll be adding a seventh Lombardi come season's end. And the reason I remain skeptical is not so much the players, but coaching. As the old adage goes, you can't expect a tiger to change its stripes. Well, you can't expect Matt Canada to know anything about running a successful offense. Casey, as long as Matt Canada remains offensive coordinator, I won't be setting my expectations too high. I don't care anymore. Well, Ryan, once again, we don't deserve you. You are the beacon of light that guides us through this shitstorm. Remaining at number 39 this week, here's that second-era Genesis lead singer, Phil Collins, but this is off his second studio album, solo studio album. Hello, I must be going. Here's I Don't Care Anymore.
Oh, every week I always wonder where he's going, and I'm never correct.
I love it.
1983 Genesis. By the way, that Land of Confusion video, I still have nightmares over that Phil Collins puppet.
How old were you in 1983, Mark?
You dream of Land of Confusion. 12, maybe? Something 12? Like that?
You sure? 11,
12?
83? So. Do the math. Yeah.
11? 11? 11 years old, I think. Oh, man, I remember that on MTV.
You were 14-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad. I was waiting for, Headbangers Ball to come on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Ricky Rock
on MTV.
Ricky Rockin', baby. Yeah.
On MTV when they actually played videos.
Oh, God. Those were the days. Those were the days. All right. We're going to get on out of here. Once again, thank you very, very much to Variety Sports Network for picking us up, and especially Brandon. He's been absolutely wonderful to work with. Make sure you check out the site, steelcityblitz.com. All of our position previews are up there. As well as all kinds of other wonderful things. And check out on Twitter at @SCB_podcast, at @SCB Blitz, and of course on Facebook and Instagram and all that other stuff. So yeah, have a good Easter, everyone. Good Easter, hopefully yeah. Your weather is wonderful for Easter egg hunts and
mine won't be,
and all that other stuff. But anyway, for these guys, Steel Dad signing off on the SCB Steelers podcast. Presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And hey, go Steelers.
Ravens suck.